He's coming back one day.
Woo! It's gonna be the day.
Yeah.
Amen. What a day. Amen. When we see him face to face. Woo. You can turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. We're going to be on chapter 6. We are continuing our study on lessons from Corinth. And we are focused right now on errors in the church. Errors that we can avoid. Errors that we should avoid. The church had a lot of errors here. And you know, the good thing about that is we get to learn from them. We get to have an epistle where Paul writes about them. And we can learn that churches that were started by God and by His power can go wrong and can get some things wrong. But we also learn that they can fix those things. In fact, what we studied last week about separating and the error of fellowship that they had, they actually got that right. They fixed it. And that's an encouragement, because you and I know that we can also get things right if we're doing them wrong.
Amen.
And that's an encouragement. Remember, Jesus does rebuke churches in Revelation, and he has an exhortation for them to get things right, to overcome. You don't have to continue going down that wrong way.
Amen.
You can get it right. You can get it right as a church and as an individual. So that's an encouragement when we go through this, these lessons. Today I want to talk about another one that we're going to look into. And this one we need to deal with. I think it's just something that we all need to get right. Today we're going to talk about errors in judgment. Errors in judgment. The church can really get itself messed up. This church was making all kinds of errors in judgment. They were judging things they weren't supposed to be judging. They weren't judging things they were supposed to be judging. They were taking matters that were conflicts between brethren and having the world, unbelievers, judge them. There was just a lot of errors in judgment in this church, and Paul wants to get that taken care of. Paul calls them to get it right. And that's what we're going to look at today. I'm going to be talking about errors in judgment, errors in judging, and this is going to be my outline. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to go through it all today, because, I mean, talking about errors in judgment, boy, we could spend a while on that. So I'm not going to make any promises of how long we're going to be there. But it's errors in judging unbelievers, errors in judging other believers, errors in judging yourself, and errors in judging ministers. We're going to talk about those things. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, before we start reading, I'm going to ask Jackson, could you pray for us this morning?
Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for today. We pray that you'll give Stephen the words to preach and give us the ears to hear, but to bless us and bless the rest of this revival. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read through verse 12. It says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?
Amen.
Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, you do wrong, and you defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. Okay then. Wow. You know, this is a really important subject. So what does it mean to judge? I mean, judge, what does it mean to judge? Because judging and judgment extends a great area, right? It's not just one small matter. Judgment can mean a whole lot of things. Doesn't Jesus say, judge not? And what does that mean? Does that mean we can't make any judgments at all? Well, that's how most people want to refer to it whenever they use that verse. Oh, don't judge. Nobody can make any judgment. Well, no, that's not what Jesus Christ is saying, right? Judging is extending a great area. So judging just has a lot of stuff it takes into context. First of all, you evaluate something based on a standard. That's judging. You form an opinion or decision after careful thought. That's judging. It's to discern. It's to assess. It's to select. And to choose, and to determine, and to distinguish, and to examine. It's to pronounce an opinion concerning right and wrong. It's to pass sentence, to condemn, or to justify someone or something. This is all part of judging and judgments. Judging can range from thoughtful discernment to a harsh condemnation, depending on the context. So judging is a hard thing to cover, right? In fact, you're judging the word judge. You have to judge the word judge depending on the context. What does it mean? And so Paul deals with judgment and judging in 1 Corinthians a lot. There's at least 16 distinct verses where he mentions and talks about judgment and judging in the book of 1 Corinthians. So it was a problem. It was an error. And Paul did want them to get it fixed. Now, the first thing I want to make clear is that Christians are called to judge. Amen. Christians are called to judge. You are called to be discerning. Now look there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15. You are supposed to judge. You're supposed to discern things. You're supposed to compare things and choose things. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 15 says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. You're supposed to judge things. You're supposed to be able to discern things. It is something you as a Christian need to do. And you are also supposed to pass judgment. You are supposed to condemn some things. You are supposed to actually pass judgments and act upon it. And actually sometimes separate yourself from a judgment that you had to make. And we saw that last week. And we're not going to get into that again, right? But just know that you are called to judge. But when you're called to judge, you need to do it correctly. And that's what we should be striving for. We should be striving because listen, everybody makes judgments. Every single one of us. And you're supposed to, and you're going to. But why don't we try to strive and do it correctly?
Amen.
Do it better. And this is probably a lifelong goal. Because you're probably going to judge and do something wrong, judge something incorrectly a few later on. Why don't we just strive to keep on progressing and get right?
That's good.
And judge correctly. Listen, what he says, know ye not that you are going to judge angels? Wow. He says, you're going to judge the world. He says, saints are going to judge the world. Now, I assume that means kind of like what Revelation 20 says. He says, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Listen, us as saints, we're going to reign and we're going to live with Christ for 1,000 years. And it looks like we're going to be sitting on thrones and we're going to be judging. Now, I don't know how all that works, and I'm not going to pretend to. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know how you and I are going to end up judging angels. But the one thing that's very clear is Paul says it's going to happen. And you are called to judge, because if you're going to be judging those things, shouldn't you be able to judge these matters that come up amongst us?
Amen.
We should. We should be, and we should strive to. If we suffer, Timothy says, we shall also reign with him. Now, I believe it's the scripture is very clear that there is going to be a hierarchy, right, with Christ. Not everybody is going to have the same thing or the same judgment. Maybe some people are going to judge a lot of things. Some people are just going to have lesser judgment. I don't know how it all works. But saints are going to judge the world. And so we should strive to judge correctly right now. Okay, so the first point I want to talk about in the error in judgment is errors in judging unbelievers. Errors in judging unbelievers. And he mentioned that at the end of chapter 5. And I think this is an interesting really transition that he goes from what they're doing and how they were supposed to be judging the brother in the church and they were supposed to separate themselves. And then he just keeps on talking about judgment and errors in judgment. But here he mentions something that I think needs to be pointed out and talked about. He says in verse 12 of chapter 5, "For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth." Right? "Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." He's saying, listen, y'all guys need to judge the person that's within. Stop. Don't worry about all them people that are without.
Amen.
God's gonna judge them. And he's talking about this because it's interesting. Preachers sometimes have to cover their bases, because you can say one thing and then somebody else is going to run off with it and go do something else that you didn't mean at all.
That's right.
You can say, hey, you need to separate yourself from those sinners, those that are living in fornication and living in drunkenness. You need to separate yourself from. And if Paul didn't give the warning he gave here, believers might have thought, oh boy, we just got to separate ourselves from the world. We got to run away and never, never have contact with anybody, because we're going to be contaminated with unbelievers. And so Paul has to warn us, hey, listen, I'm not talking about separating yourself from unbelievers that are living in fornication. What do you expect them to do? They're unbelievers.
That's right.
So don't go around, you know, acting like you're all better than all these unbelievers and judging them and doing all that. Listen, God is going to judge the unbelievers. So we are called to judge unbelievers correctly. So what does that look like? Now, first of all, to remember, it's not our role to condemn. And that's what he says, right? He says God is going to judge them that are without. God is going to pass final judgment upon them that are without. It's not your role to condemn, but it is your role to warn. Okay? You do need to judge sin, and you do need to warn the sinners that they are in sin, but you are not passing the final judgment upon their life. In other words, I don't think you should ever talk about you are out of hope, without hope, you're never going to get saved. Don't make that, don't pronounce that final judgment upon somebody, because you don't know what God's going to do with them.
Amen.
You should have hope for them. And that's the reason you present their sin to them, because of hope that they will get right with God. And leave the condemning and judgment, final judgment, up to God upon their lives.
Amen.
Only God passes the ultimate judgment upon unbelievers. We do not. But we are to call out sin. We are to call sin, sin, and we are to tell unbelievers that they're living in sin. It's not like we just, you know, close our eyes and pretend like they're not doing anything wrong. No. We are to judge them, and we are to tell them that they are living in sin. What we're not to do is to condemn them as if we assume the role of eternal judgment upon their lives. So we do need to testify to truth, and we need to bring the gospel to them and call out their sin, point out their sin. Now, let me tell you something, that whenever you do this, Whenever you, as a Christian, point out the sin of the world and the sin of the unbeliever, they are not going to like it. The world is not going to like you. Listen, pointing out sin brings rejection. And I want to take you to John chapter 7. Just remember, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians. But let's go over to John chapter 7 and see what Jesus says here. John chapter 7. His brothers, his actual brothers that did not believe in him were trying to get him to do something that he wasn't ready to do, and they were trying to manipulate him into doing something wrong. And anyway, in verse 6, Jesus says, "Then Jesus said unto them, My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready." So chapter 7, verse 7 in John, he says, "The world cannot hate you." You're of the world, though. The world doesn't hate their own. "But me, it hateth, because I testify that the works thereof are evil." Jesus did testify against the world and their works, okay? We don't sit around and don't let anybody make you think that Jesus did not point out people's sins. Oh, Jesus was just sitting around, right? He ate with sinners. He ate with fornicators. He ate with harlots. He ate with these people, right? I mean, Jesus just never condemned anything. No, Jesus was very clear in pointing out sin.
Amen.
And the world did not like him for it. The world, he says, hated him. The world, he says, "But me it hates. The world hates me, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil." So you and I, we should judge the evil works that unbelievers commit. And we should warn them of their evil deeds. And the world will not like you for doing it. But it has to be done. You are called to judge. And you are called to warn sinners about their sin. And you're called to do that. So you and I need to know what God's word says. We need to know what God's will is. We need to know what God sees as right and wrong. And we need to tell people about it. This is true. You need to judge. You need to judge when to let go. When to shake the dust off. That's an interesting thing when it comes to unbelievers. Jesus says in Matthew 10, "Shake off the dust of your feet." After you've gone to somebody, after you've gone to this town, and you've preached the word, and you've taught them, and you've told them, and you've warned them, and they just don't want to listen, and they just continue in their rebellion, and they just keep on living their life, and they don't want to have nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they reject him. You know, you're going to have to judge when it's appropriate for you to say, "Okay, I shake off the dust of my feet and I go to someone else." That's an actual judgment you have to think about and consider. Now, I wonder if we would have to come to that judgment more often if we preached more often. Maybe you've never had to get to the point where you had to say, "Okay, I gotta shake off the dust of my feet and go somewhere else," because you haven't presented the sins and presented the gospel enough to get to that point. That's a shame.
Yeah.
I guess. Why don't we, you know, try to reach the people with the gospel, and the gospel includes confronting people with their sin. This is real. This is true. And if they keep rejecting the truth, you might need to take it to somebody else. Jesus said, "I gotta keep going. I can't just stay in one place. There's more people that need it." But he was considered about getting it. He was wanting to get it out. Now, remember, in all these judgments, is that we're not against them.
Amen.
That's the point. And that's the point to remember. We are not against unbelievers. They are not our enemy. No, they're the ones that are lost. They're the ones that need help. So whenever we are judging unbelievers and their sin, and we're telling them about their sin, we're warning them about their sin and giving them the gospel, we don't go around about it thinking that we are better than them. Salvation shouldn't make us proud. and self-righteous.
Amen.
Salvation should make us humble.
Amen. That's right.
Because guess what? You were saved from the same things they're needing to be saved from. We don't judge ourselves better than them. No. Contrary. We judge ourselves the same. And we know that they need Christ. That's why he says in 1 Corinthians 6:11, such were some of you.
Amen.
Such were some of you. You were in the same boat that they were. So when you're going around preaching, you don't go around preaching like, oh man, I've never done those things. Y'all are so lousy. I'm so much better than y'all. Why can't y'all be more like me? No. Guys, I was in the same position as you were, and Jesus saved my life. And if your preaching isn't coming out that way, then you might be judging wrong. You might be judging unbelievers with a wrong attitude. And you need to get that fixed. So we do have to judge unbelievers, but we're not in the place to condemn them and to execute the final judgment upon their life. We are to warn them of their sin, just like we need to be warned of ours. Okay, moving on. So, we're not only in error when we judge unbelievers, but they're also in an error of judging within the church. Error in judging other believers. There's error in judging amongst ourselves, because it's one thing, right, to judge unbelievers, but then you have to get to a point where we're going to be judging amongst ourselves, and that's going to get a little trickier. That might get a little harder, because guess what? We're probably spending more time together, right? I mean, I hope you spend a lot of time with your brethren in Christ. And if you're spending a lot of time with brethren in Christ, there's going to be a lot of judging going on. There's going to be a lot of judging needing to go on. So we need to do this right. And they weren't. They had some errors. The first error that we're going to mention just is the one he says right here. And that's the error of taking these issues that were amongst believers and taking them public to unbelievers. That was a real mistake. That was a mistake for a few things. He says in verse 5, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? You know, amongst believers, there should be plenty of people that are wise enough where you can take a matter and let them judge it. You've got a problem with a brother, you've got something that's going on, and y'all are trying to fight it out and discuss it and argue it. Can't y'all say, hey, we both agree that this brother and that brother are wise. Why don't we take this matter before him and let him judge? And let's settle this so that we don't have to continue being in this problem, in this division, in this argument. And you know, Christians should want to get out of that stage.
Amen.
If you're in a heated fight with your brother, you shouldn't want to stay that way.
Amen.
And so why do you just want to leave and let things fester that way? Why don't you want to get it right with that brethren?
Amen.
And the best way to get it right is to take it amongst a wise brother in the church so that they can judge between you. And maybe y'all can stop that.
Right.
That would be the correct way to do it. But boy, there's so many ways, and that's funny, right? There's so many ways to do it wrong.
Amen.
Instead of going to brothers that are wise, we're going about spreading the problems we have with that brethren, not seeking judgment, not seeking restoration, not seeking help, not seeking to fix the situation, but so that we can make them look bad so that they can think about him the same way I think about him, so that I'll have more people on my side. That's not the way to go about it.
Amen.
Fix problems in the church. Fix the problems that you have with your brethren. Because God loves unity.
Amen.
And so we should strive for that.
Amen.
And taking judgments to unbelievers, I mean, that just, what he says is, but brother goeth to law before brother, and that before unbelievers. He's just thinking, he's thinking, how can it be that y'all are taking all these things, and these things that shouldn't, they're not a big deal. And y'all are taking them before unbelievers. What kind of testimony is that?
Amen. Amen.
You're fighting with your brother and then you're talking to unbelievers about that. And worse, if you're actually taking them to court and making a national headlines that these two Christians are fighting each other over money. What are you ruining your testimony over? These little matters.
Amen.
In fact, he says, wouldn't it be better just to suffer wrong?
Yeah. Amen.
Okay, your brother did something wrong to you. Before you take it out and publicly put it everywhere and let all those unbelievers see how many problems there are amongst y'all, shouldn't you just accept the wrong and be defrauded and let it go?
Amen. There you go.
Yeah, good point.
I've heard it say that this is a reason not to get in a partnership with your brothers in church, because if anything goes wrong, you're not going to sue them. And that's a good principle. If you're not willing to just let something go, then don't get into things that you shouldn't be getting into. Y'all start a partnership and then they do you wrong. You should not take that to unbelievers in court. And so that's something to consider before you get into things that you know you might regret later on. But why don't you get somebody else to judge? And if it's not that big of a deal, why don't you just suffer the wrong?
Amen.
Suffer the wrong. And I mean, we can see the principles on this throughout the scriptures. I mean, just think about it. Again, what did Christ do for you? Why can't you forgive someone else?
Amen.
Amen.
Especially among brethren. Now, a couple things to consider, right? Remember, we should judge sin in the church. We should. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 12 through 13. He says, you need to put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Church members are responsible for addressing sin that's inside the body. And we talked about that last time. We're not going to go through that again. But just remember, when sin is not judged in the church, it's justified. And the progression is that after it's being justified, sooner or later, it's going to become celebrated. Because you're not stopping it and you're not putting an end to it. And that's just the progression that it takes. You're gonna end up participating in what you should have been judging.
Right.
Now, a couple other things to remember. We need to judge by facts and not by feelings.
Amen.
So we go by what's clearly seen and what's clearly known, not by our assumptions and not by how we feel about it. Jesus said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment, not according to the appearance. You know, sometimes feelings can get in our way and people can present their case and make us feel so sorry for them. Well, I'm living like this because I don't have this, I don't have that, I need, and so I'm trying to justify my sin by making you feel bad, and because you feel sorry for me, I hope you don't judge me. Be careful. Be careful for all the feelings that come about whenever you're supposed to make a clear judgment.
Amen.
Because feelings can confuse judgment.
Amen.
And how it makes you feel, and just remember, you need to judge according to what you know. That's why you present facts. That's why you talk about things that are clear and known, because you want to make a good judgment and not just judge based on appearance. That's why sometimes you say things like, don't judge a book by its cover, right? Because sometimes what things look like really, really, you know, just appear to be maybe different when you actually look at them deeper.
None.
And so if you don't know the whole matter, be careful. Judging. You need to know the whole matter. Now again, that I think that's where you need to decide whether it's worth investigating or not. Some things, look, if you don't want to get into it, then just leave it alone. Don't get into a big old mess, right?
Amen.
Right.
It's like, what is it, grabbing the dog by the ears? It's better just don't mess with it. Don't mess with it. Sometimes you don't have to mess with it. Don't mess with it. But if you have to mess with it, then you need to know the whole thing. And you don't know the whole thing. Sometimes you don't know everything. And you know, some people make judgments and they know everything, or they know more of the details than you do. And you accuse them, the ones who made the judgment, of doing things wrongly. Well, be careful. You might not know everything about the situation.
That's right. It's true. Amen.
We'll talk more about that when you judge ministers. But how about going into that? We don't know the hearts and the motives. Only God does. And so be careful. Remember, when you're judging, you don't know all those motives that are going on. Be cautious about assigning intent when you're judging. Remember, God says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God knows the heart. Sometimes you don't. And you got to be careful when you're judging, because you can start judging. Oh, I know why he said that. Oh, that look that she gave me, I know what she was thinking. Oh, calm down. You know, be careful. Don't be so quick to judge that you now know what they mean and what they think and what they feel. You can see right past their face into their heart. Be careful. Slow down.
Amen.
Judge righteous judgment. You don't know the heart all the time. Oh, I know why he did that. He just did that to get attention. Mm-hmm. I know him. The truth is, if you're concerned about their intent, why don't you go ask them?
Amen.
Just go ask them. They gave you a bad look? Why don't you go and say, man, you know, you looked at me in a way and it made me feel so bad. Is that really what you meant? Okay, because confronting some people might be hard, and you know, when you get scared, you might want to cry. But go ahead and ask. Do it. It's worth it. Don't let thinking evil of somebody be the first impression that you get.
It's good right there.
Now listen, one of the things that Paul mentions about all of this is that you can solve all these problems, and a lot of problems in judgment can be solved by love.
Amen.
Charity. That will solve a lot of problems.
Amen.
In judgment.
Amen.
And one thing he says, in charity thinketh no evil. And boy, the things we gotta be careful for is, because whenever we are in this judging mode, it's that we're judging their intents. And for some reason, we always judge evil intentions. We always judge evil intentions. You know, that would fix a lot of problems in your marriage if you didn't judge their intentions as evil. I mean, you probably need to work on some of the things you do, but if you're always thinking, oh, she left that there because she just wants to make me pick it up. Right? Or he left that there because he wants to, just be careful with always going right to judging evil. Oh, that's evil. They've got an evil intent. You're probably not being too charitable in those moments. And it's interesting that this judging intentions and judging the intent goes both ways, both on the judging and the one that's being judged. You can be the one that's being judged and you're judging the intent of the person judging you. Somebody comes and confronts you with something, and then all of a sudden your quick reaction is, they just have something against me. That's all the reason why they're trying to tell me about this. Well, why are you judging the intentions of that person that's judging you?
Yeah.
Maybe they have good intentions for coming up and approaching you with a matter. And you should appreciate anybody that comes to you approaching you with a matter that concerns you.
That's right.
This should be like one of the best things that you admire about them, because they're not taking it to somebody else.
Yeah, that's good.
They're bringing it to you. So appreciate that kind of judgment, and don't be so quick to judge the attention, the intentions. Judge actions. Be careful when assuming motives. Okay, we gotta move. Remember to judge privately when possible.
Amen.
And judge publicly when needed. Like we saw in Matthew chapter 18, right? Some brother does something wrong to you, you go to him first. Go to him privately, try to work it out. If it escalates and it gets to the point where it needs to go public, okay, then that's when we'll do that. But this is a good reminder. Try to do it privately first and publicly when needed. Sometimes it does need to go public, right? An elder that's doing wrong needs to be rebuked, sometimes publicly and open. Paul had to rebuke Peter, right? Publicly. Because Peter was publicly doing something that was affecting other believers too, and Paul had to get right in his face and say, hey, you're doing something wrong. So we do have to judge amongst believers.
Amen.
But we want to do it correctly.
Amen.
And publicly, being the first response that we do is not always the answer.
That's right.
Try to do it privately first and publicly when needed. Remember, judge others by God's word, or according to God's word, and not your opinion. In other words, we should grow in the knowledge of the Word of God so that we can know and think more like God, so that we can judge according to God's judgments, according to God's Word, not according to our own opinions.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 5 verse 14 says, "But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." You should be using the Word of God. You should be using the teaching, the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. All these things, you should be using them so much that you're exercising those muscles so that you know how to discern between good and evil.
Right.
Amen.
We should have a bunch of spiritual power lifters in the church.
Good.
Amen. How about exercising those muscles? And then you can judge by God's word, not by just your own opinion.
Amen.
Because that's how you should be looking at matters. That's how you should discern matters, even in your own life. But especially when you're going to bring something up to somebody else, why don't you make it according to what God wants, not just according to your personal preference and feelings? Okay, essentials that we should remember. We should remember that we should not separate over opinions and personal preferences.
Amen.
So we see 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that they had to separate themselves. And they have to separate themselves, again, according to the Word of God, things that are really meaningful, that we need to separate ourselves from other Christians for. But it's sad that Christians are separating over not these things. They're not as separating each other from each other because of doctrinal, super important doctrinal issues. They're not separating because of these super bad sins where they're in rebellion and they don't want to repent. They're separating because of personal opinions and differences that they have. And this is sad if that's where all of our separation come from. That's not where separation should occur.
Amen.
And boy, you know, we could go to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Just look at that first, the first couple of verses there. Romans chapter 14 says, "Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him." Listen, he's saying, y'all should not be separating yourselves because of these non-essential matters.
Amen.
Non-essential matters shouldn't be the reason you're separating yourselves. Now listen, we can all have different opinions, and we can all have different stages of life where we're in. We're all different, right? Like was mentioned, some of us are babies, some of us are more spiritually mature. There's going to be differences in opinions and differences in maturity, and we have to accept one another. We have to not say, I'm separating from you because you don't see things like I see things. Even if I'm so spiritual, I'm the strong brother, and I know what God wants, and therefore I'm separating myself from you because you're not there yet. That should not be the reason for separation. He says, receive him. Why? Because Christ hath received him.
Right.
Shouldn't that be good enough?
Amen.
Yeah, you were probably in that same place one time or another.
Amen.
You're telling me you were born again and all of a sudden you were perfect? No. No. So why don't you receive him as you were received?
Right.
Yes.
Amen.
We need to put personal convictions aside when it comes to matters on grounds on why to divide. You can have your opinion. You can actually seriously consider your opinion to be right. I don't care whether you're the weaker brother or whether you're the stronger brother. And you can fight that out all you want. You're the weaker, you're the stronger one. Who cares?
Right.
Don't divide over them. Don't divide over those personal matters, personal opinions. Now, that doesn't mean they shouldn't be up for discussion. Because I think that in any good and healthy church, there should be discussion about these. And Paul is saying, hey, look, there's a lot of discussion about that. You think you're right. You think you're right. You're going to be persuaded in your mind, and you're going to be persuaded in your mind. That's good. I want y'all to be persuaded, and I want y'all to talk it out. Y'all can talk it out. Y'all can fight it out. Y'all can show each other verses, and y'all can look at this and look at that, and this is why I think I'm right. Go ahead. Have these discussions. There's nothing wrong with that, but don't separate because of them.
Amen.
Don't be overly sensitive.
Yes, sir.
Can't we disagree on something and talk about it and actually have real differing things and opinions on it and still be fine together?
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, we can. I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
In this church, we have a lot of that. There's a lot of discussion going on, and that's fine. But don't let it be what separates you from your brethren. I would say, if you're thinking, I'm going to leave this church because, and it has to do with one of these matters that are not essential, I'd say be careful. You might be doing something wrong. Because these non-essential matters should not be what causes division and separation. Now, with that said, we need to be careful. Because some of these things can become, some of these things, I could say, are on a very fine line to becoming sin and causing problems for other believers. For example, he talks about meat sacrificed to idols. He talks about meat sacrificed to idols. I think he's talking about that here in Romans chapter 14. And, you know, he uses it as like, look, you know, it's kind of like a liberty thing, right? Knowledge that, and what I'm saying is sometimes there's a progression on these matters that comes to a point where separation is required. And so be careful thinking that everything is something we can just discuss about and it's not a big deal. No, there comes a point where these things, even some of these things, can become a big deal. Like meat sacrificed to idols. Some places you read it and you think, well, I guess it's not a big deal. What's the idol? The idol is nothing. So if we sacrifice something, if they sacrifice something to the idol, that meat doesn't become wicked. Oh, they sacrificed it to an idol. Guess what? That idol means nothing. That piece of meat isn't wicked. If you go buy it in the market and you eat it, it's not like you're eating wickedness. Right? So he's like, don't make a big deal about it. But then the progression is, in 1 Corinthians 8, 9, he says, hey, you got to be careful because you might be hurting your brother's conscience. And then you're jumping into something bad. But that's not enough. In 1 Corinthians 10, 20, he says, hey, if you're participating in fellowshipping with God, you can't be participating in fellowshipping with the devil. And whenever you are actually participating in these events where they're eating meat sacrificed to devils, you become participant. And you don't want to participate in that. And it escalates even further when Jesus confronts them in the book of Revelation, two different churches, where he says, y'all are suffering and y'all are letting people teach you to eat things sacrificed to idols, and that's wrong. So, okay, be careful. Those little personal matters might actually be a big deal in some cases. So all these judgments have to be, remember, they are individual, and you have to take them case by case. Now, I think we'll be able to finish this one. Errors in judging other believers. We should not judge hypocritically. In other words, you need to cast out the what you have in your eye first so that you can then proceed to help somebody else. Just judgment must come from a place of humility. And that's what I'll finish this out with. We must judge with humility, desiring to restore and not to destroy.
Amen.
Galatians even tells us this, right? Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. Spiritual members do need to make judgments. You're going to have to judge whether somebody's in wrong. And you need to go to them and you need to restore them. And you need to do it in a spirit of meekness. Don't judge in anger. Do it in love. How about thinking about this? I want them to do things to me as I would have them. I want to do to them as that I would have them do it to me. Right? I think that applies in judgment too.
Amen.
And how do you want God to judge you? Should be taken into consideration also. Do you want the Lord to judge you in his hot anger?
No. Amen.
No. So maybe you should calm down before you start confronting all these people that are doing wrong.
Amen.
He says, speak the truth in love. Yes.
Yes.
You need both of that. Matthew 7:2 says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured again to you. Take into consideration all these things. One thing I wrote down so that I could get it right is correction without compassion is cruelty. Compassion without correction is cowardice. But correction with compassion is Christ-like. You need them both. Don't lean on one without the other. Because you need them both. You need to correct, but you need to have compassion. Because you were in the same place, because you would want God to do that with you, and you would want them to do that towards you. So remember this. We do need to pass judgment, but we want to do it correctly.
Amen.
Next week, we'll talk about errors in judging yourself and errors in judging ministers. And that'll be next time. We'll take a little break and then we'll be here for the second hour.